Turn in your Bible, if you would, please, to John's Gospel, chapter number 6, verse 14. John's Gospel 6, 14. 6:14. This chapter is the same event in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I may go there and read a couple of verses, may not, but they're both the same event. One is written by Matthew and one is written by John. So they have, and God uses different personalities in his kingdom. And so each one, although they're about the same identical story, he allowed their human. If Scott and I saw an event at the fair was last week, if we saw an event and you asked this Scott about it and I told you what I saw, and you ask him about it, and he was not around me and didn't hear what I said, he would tell you the same event. Our both accounts would be accurate, but there'd be some details differently simply because of our personality and the things that we would notice. And so that's what you have, and that's why I want God is like that. He allowed, the Holy Ghost wrote the Bible, but he allowed our humanness to get in there so you and I could relate to these people in the Word of God that wrote the Word of God. And so, John 6, we're going to read down through verse 21. I want to preach to you today for a few minutes on living with decisions. Decisions we make, they have results, they have consequences, they have sometimes collateral damage. But when we make a decision, we will have to live and die with that decision because it's been made. And so, learning to make wise decisions, so living with decisions is a little more comfortable than wrong decisions. Living with those, like I said a couple weeks ago, is far cheaper to make wise choices and smart choices than bad or dumb choices, okay? And so, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 14. And this is what the Bible says, John 6:14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus had did when he fed the people, 5,000 men, which is, could be anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 people total. This is a truth. This is the prophet. This is him that should come into the world. And so when Jesus therefore perceived or understood that they, verse 15, that they would come and take him by force, and make him king. They wanted him to be a physical king and take over the being dominated by Rome. He departed into a mountain alone. So he evacuated and got away and went to a mountain by himself. By himself. Just sat there by himself. And because he was not supposed to be king physically yet, that will come after the end of the tribulation after the Armageddon. That will come in a few years. All right? And so, verse 16, and when the evening was now come, it got dark. So he's still up on the mountain by himself. And I'm sure the people that were fed and ate, they went and did whatever they did. And his disciples were sitting down at the boat that they came in because they were on the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum where they lived in the house, okay, Jesus' home. And not his home, but a house he purchased or whatever in Capernaum because he was raised in Nazareth. But because of the Nazareth effect, because of the familiarity they had with him in family, they didn't respect him. And so because of their unbelief and doubt and lack of respect, because you cannot keep what you will not respect. And so that's why Jesus moved and left Nazareth and went to Capernaum to start with. And so verse 17, so they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, all right? Now, you can go, don't turn there, but you can read in Matthew chapter number 14, you will see that Jesus constrained them. Matter of fact, let's just go there and look at it with our eyes. Matthew 14, 22. Let's look at it. It's good to look at it. Matthew's Gospel 14, 22. Let's just go there and look at it. Jesus told them to get in the boat. Erica, he told them, and straightway Jesus constrained, that's a strong word, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, please, Joshua, and then we'll go back to John, verse 23. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart, alone, to pray. And when the evening was to come, he was there alone. All right? So you see that he very strongly sent them in a boat, Mr. Tate, out into the Sea of Galilee. All right? He did that. He knowingly told them to get in a boat and go back across to Capernaum. Now go back with me to John 6, chapter 6, verse 17, if you would, please. And you can kind of insert that verse into this verse so you get the whole story. It's called rightly dividing the truth. It's called keeping things in context. It's called understanding the Bible. Verse 17, and then they entered into a ship and they went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. And how many knows everything gets worse when it gets dark, especially if you're afraid of the dark, all right? And Jesus was not come to them. They were saying, like, where did he go? You ever felt that way? I mean, Miss Erica just sang all about it. You ever felt that way? And she and I have not discussed songs. I had no idea what she's going to sing, as I trust her judgment. And she had no idea what I was going to preach. And so they out in the boat, and they have no idea where Jesus is at, all right? The good thing is Jesus knows where he's at, and he knows where you're at, all right? That's the good thing. And the sea arose, verse 18, the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, and how many knows it's hard to keep up with stuff when the wind's blowing about to sink your ship. It's hard to keep up with the details of life. Anybody know anything about stress? Hell, oh my God, what do I do with that piece of paper? You know, it seems like my life revolves around, Deb, little scrap pieces of paper. Where's that? I got it here somewhere. For God's sake, don't clean up my desk, all right? Anyway, that being said, and that's kind of what they was doing. They said, we've gone 20 or maybe 30. I don't know how far we've gone, but it is awful. They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. They was afraid of Jesus. They was in a situation where they were afraid of everything. They had gotten into fear. And when you get in fear mode, you're afraid, Dr. B. Everything. You just, oh my God, everything's bad. You know what I'm saying? And so I've told this story before. Carrie and I were in the Florida Keys, and we left Key West, and 70 miles from Key West on further out, Key Largo is a 100-mile marker, and then you go through the Keys, which is just a little bunch of little islands on a two-lane road, 100 miles out into the ocean, because Key West is 0-mile marker as far as you can go in a vehicle, and you can get your picture took there by the 0-mile marker if you want to, all right? And so we get on a boat, and we go 70 more miles out into the Gulf, and there's the largest brick structure, masonry structure, in the Western Hemisphere, is that right? We're in the Western Hemisphere. It's the largest brick structure in the Western Hemisphere. It was a fort to protect one time, then it became a Civil War prison. Anyway, it's about a 3-hour ride out. And going out was okay. Coming back, the sun was shining. It's a beautiful day, Eric. I mean, it's a beautiful day, but the seas had got up, okay? And so she was rocking. And it makes a 3-hour wide ride, especially if you get seasick or if you're afraid, things like that. And so we sit down up. I like to sit up top, but if you get down low, you know, the further down you go, the less you feel the rock. We're sitting up top. Carrie and I, thank God, don't get seasick. And so we were up top sitting at the table just watching the ocean, just relaxing. And of course, the boat is just rocking. It's just rocking. Pop, it's just rocking. Sitting right across from me is this couple on their honeymoon. He's had about a 6-pack. She, on the other hand, has not. She has locked on this little handle here. They got a table bill with a little rail around it. So if you sit up there and it does do that, you know, whatever you eat, they got stuff on the boat, you know, you can of course buy whatever, and it'll keep it on that table, or at least at that level of way we were at, we'll keep you on the table. If it got much worse, wouldn't keep it on the table. But she was locked, Tate. She was locked. Them knuckles was white. Brooks, they was white. And my eyes was set. And every once in a while, her husband would elbow her and say, are you okay? Was something wrong? You ain't talking very much. I'm thinking, man, you don't send a boy to do a man's job. That's all I can say about that. All right? If you get married, marry you a man. Do you know there's some 65-year-old boys? Y'all do know that, right? You unmarried ladies, okay? Anyway, before you get married, talk to me, please. Anyway, She's locked in, and I know it. And I was sitting right across from her, and I said, "Baby, are you okay?" She didn't even hear me. I finally broke through, and Carrie said something to her. Said, "Baby, are you okay?" She wasn't okay. I mean, she was in a bad situation. I said, "It's going to be this way the whole way." And I finally got through, to Mr. Sixpack over here. I said, "You need to try to get her unlocked and get her down as low as you can get her so this boat, you know, Matthew, you know." And I mean, she was in bad. What had happened? Fear done got her. She was afraid of everything. I mean, she was afraid of the sharks, the alligators, the octopuses, I mean, barracudas, I mean, meteorites, everything the Weather Channel tells you is going to kill you tomorrow. They done got all up in her bad. I mean, she's locked in fear mode. And so finally I got him to get her torn loose from the table and tuck her down, and I guess everything come out all right. I have no idea. But anyway, that being said, when you get fear, now what you need to know about these guys, Mark, these 12 men were fishermen. They needed to look at the stars. But they knew how to know if it was going to come a storm or not. They assumed and perceived it was not going to come a storm. Or they wouldn't, Matthew, have been out on that. They'd have said, "No, it's not good sailing weather tonight. We better camp it. We better lock it down right here." But Jesus, being God in the flesh, wanting to teach them something called faith and trust and obedience and commitment and respect and integrity and all those other things, and maintaining all of those when you just left the shore and you are a fisherman, you've been on this all your life. You know this body of water. You know where every stump is. You know where every, you know what the wind's doing, what the clouds are doing, what the stars are doing. And so you know it's good. But all of a sudden, Jesus has told them to go out there. And now they're out there, and it's above their understanding. Is anybody here getting what? It's above their, I've been on this body of water all my life. I've fished here all my life. I fished here. I was raised here. Where did this storm come from? And then they remember, I'm sure, Jesus is the very one told us to come out here, and he ain't even in the boat. He's sitting up on the mountain. Are y'all with me yet? Y'all, I know you're a little tired today, but y'all got this picture yet? He's the one told us to go out here, and we're out here, and he ain't out here with us, and we dying. Can I get an amen? Anybody feel me? They made the decision, though, Mr. Headache, to go on out there because Jesus told them to. It was a decision of obedience, but in spite of the fact that they obeyed the Lord, they still had fear come over them. So right in the middle of obedience and right in the middle of wondering why did Jesus tell us to come out here, no wonder he went up on the mountain. Look what kind of mess he's got us in. I can just hear the conversation. Why? Because they're real people, and God let us see that realness about them. Have you ever been in a storm and you felt like, "Well, God told me to do this, and Lord God, I don't know, where's he at, by the way? This was his idea, and I can't find..." Y'all got friends like that? Let's get it real, all right? Paul went slam, tried to go to India to preach the gospel, and tried several times, went over to the east, to India and China to preach the gospel to Asia, and every time he tried to preach, he didn't have no Holy Ghost. And didn't have nothing, so then he realized, "I'm out of God's will, I'm 600 miles from it," and he didn't have no airplane, so he had to get himself back to Europe. He walked 600 miles or rides a camel or a goat or something or whatever, and so anyway, he gets 600 miles back in the will of God. This is Acts 15 and 16. He gets back, he hears a word from God, Bill. God says, you off over here, I'm over here in Philippi waiting on you, babe. Let me know when you get back. I got a sermon for you to preach. Well, he gets back, preaches, and they tear his clothes off, throw rocks at him, beat him half to death, and he's in the perfect will of God. Then they throw him in prison. But at midnight, he just went ahead and praised God anyway, all right? Sometimes you're going to have to just obey God and praise him anyway, because the only way it's going to come out right is if he told you to do it. And if you do it, if the stars fall, he'll pick the stars back up and throw them back up there if he needs to, okay? He can do that. He's God. So you're better off obeying him in the storm than sitting on the beach. Can I get an amen? It don't matter. I mean, you got, if you in, you either in or you're not in.
That's right.
You know, it's not like a, and see, now I'm going to talk about this more, and don't misquote me. You see, salvation is free. Jesus paid for it. It's free. But now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say to you. Functioning properly and spiritually in the kingdom is not free. Thank you, Erica. He said, take up my cross daily. We're talking about the service. We're not talking about, you see, the kingdom of God is the best where you serve in a spiritual domain. Your salvation is locked in.
Right.
Okay? But Jesus said, he that ploweth and turneth looketh back, not worthy of the kingdom. Not heaven, but the kingdom. Y'all with me? Now, salvation's free. Kingdom is not. Kingdom's going to require your attitude. Kingdom's going to require you being a giving person. Kingdom's going to require your sacrifice. If you're serving God and you're not ever sacrificing, you're doing it wrong. Let me say that one more time. If you're serving God 100% of your heart and you never sacrifice, then you're doing it wrong. How do you know? Jesus gave his life, and Jesus also said, take up my cross if you want to be my disciple. He didn't say if you want to go to heaven and be saved. Disciple's a whole other concept. He said, if you want to be my disciple, take up my cross and follow me. We're talking about living with decisions. And I made a decision a long time ago, the day Jesus saved me. I was all in for the devil before then. I'm all in for God now. It is what it is. It's his idea. It's your idea, God. So, hey, I'm with you. Let's go. Wherever, whatever, it is what it is. And so I would suggest you make that decision today. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about getting into the kingdom cycle and functioning. And if you want to know what that is, I've been preaching on it since January. Go back and listen to all the videos. Just go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he's talking about his kingdom here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Are y'all with me? So, because see, we need some power to function here and do the kingdom stuff. Like this one old boy got saved. He'd never been to church. He didn't know nothing about David and Goliath. He didn't know nothing about whoever got swallowed by the whale. What was his name? Jonah. All right. Noah, he built the ark. And so don't bow your head, Eric. It ain't time to pray yet, baby. All right. Are y'all with me? He didn't know nothing. He didn't know Jesus walked on the water. He didn't know nothing about all that. He went to church about a month more. He went up and asked the pastor. He said, when are we going to do all the stuff? And the pastor said, what stuff? He said, well, I got saved and come to church here, and you told me to read the Gospels. He said, I don't know. I read them about once a week. And man, Jesus, he went around healing lepers, took some fish and turned them into, fed 20,000 folks, raising the dead. I mean, when are we going to go do that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, talk to me a little bit. Yeah. We're talking about the kingdom stuff is going to require you to get up in there and get involved. See, you... In the kingdom, it's not a spectator sport. It's a participation situation. Okay? If you're going to be on the ball team and you're going to get out there and make some points and put it on the scoreboard, you're going to have to go out there and play. You can't just talk about it, all right? You can't just listen to stories about it. Ty, when he played ball, bless God, I know Devin Rex heard me the stories, but Ty told me lots of ball stories. You know what I'm saying? But he got out there and played. And he got up one night about 1 o'clock. I have to tell this story all the time. Got up about 1 a.m. at the fairgrounds one year, and he comes stumbling out. He'd been asleep about 4 hours, hair everywhere, eyes glassed over. Mumbled something to me. And I said, yep. And I said something back. There was a person sitting here that's not a member of our family or tribe. And she looked at me. She said, do you know what he said? I didn't get a chance to say nothing. He turned around. He said, hey. Me and Brother Scotty on a whole nother plane, baby. Are y'all with me now? All right, kingdom folk got to get on a whole nother plane. See, these T-shirts right here, God's House T-shirts, right on the back of them, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see that right here, this bright lime green stuff? We couldn't get no greens, so we just had to get this, all right? And so, anyway, it says, kingdom seekers. If you want to be in the kingdom cycle, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me? That means you're going to have to go out there and get up in it. Salvation comes to you. It comes hunting you. The Holy Spirit comes hunting you. John, in this very chapter, John 6, 44 says, no man shall come unto the Father except he who has sent me draws him. You see, the salvation comes looking for you. You've got to get out there and make something happen in the kingdom of God. You've got to understand it's cycles. Are y'all still with me? And so sometimes those cycles will put you in storms that you don't understand and you don't know where Jesus is. But guess where Jesus is? Let's watch. Let's read now. Let's read. They just scared to death. And bless God, they done paddled. And now when you get scared, you paddle fast. Some of y'all ain't never been out in a storm. I could stand here for 2 hours and tell you about. I've been in storms on the river. I've been in storms on reservoirs. I've been in storms in ponds. I've been in storms out in the Gulf, unfortunately. All right, and so I can tell you about some water storms. I'm not going to do it. Don't have time for all that today. But I'm telling you, you get in a situation that you need Jesus. Verse 20. But he saith unto them, because he comes walking up, and he said, "It is I. Be not afraid. It's me. I'm good. It's me. It's okay." You ever been in a situation where you just was just panicked out? I mean, something had happened, and you walk up and say, "I'm okay. I'm here with you." A few years ago, Miss Carrie and I were leaving the fairgrounds like a couple of weeks before the fair started. It was one Sunday afternoon. Pulled up to the, had all the gates closed up, that main one, you know, they let you go in and out. And Cody, we pulled up there and stopped. There was a car sitting there with their blinker on going to turn in. But there was a vehicle coming, and so they couldn't turn. And there was a minivan coming this way, running about 80, that did not see the car sitting here with its blinker on. I threw it in reverse and backed up to get out of the way because there's nothing I could do. And so the minivan tried to go around the car that was turning in, and she had just started to turn. So the minivan whooped out and oh my God, by a split second, a bad T-bone situation, but she just scraped all the paint off of it, and that girl just went over there, and she was kind of in panic mode, but I said, "You go take care of her." That minivan, however, because the other car was coming, Bill, overcompensated, and she whooped it back, okay? And in the South, we say, whooped it, because she whooped it back, trust me. And that minivan, Wayne, went into a spiral. Immediately my hand went over Carrie's eyes. Just bam. Why? Because they was all kind of, it was a minivan. Mamas drive minivans with babies. My mind, bam, I put my hand over her eyes. She can tell you. Because they was stuff coming out every window. I was waiting, Matt, for a baby to come out and praying, "God, please, God, please." Anyway, it come to a stop across, if you ever go there, over there, from that main gate is a very deep gully with a concrete ditch because it's so deep and so much water comes off that big hill that got the concrete. And so her minivan stopped on its top. Yeah, stopped on its top. And she was hanging out her door, still in her seatbelt, but it was maxed out. And so she was just suspended in there. And I could smell the gas because it was upside down and it was running out of the tank. And so I got there and I got there and I told her what had happened and she didn't lose consciousness. And I put my hand on her so she could feel me. She said, "Oh, thank you, thank you." I said, "Now I'm a pastor and I'm gonna pray for you. And I got people on the way that's trained to help you." She said, get me out of here. She went into panic mode. I said, "No, baby." I said, "You're hanging suspended in your seatbelt. You're okay right now. If I try to move you, I could hurt you." She said, "But I smell gas. It's going to catch a fire." I said, "Listen to me. Look me in my eyes and listen carefully. I will not leave you." I said, "You hear me?" I said, "I will. There are no circumstances that will come that I will leave you." She said, "Well, what?" I said, "I'm a redneck. I have a pocket knife right here." And I said, "If something happens, it will hurt you, but I will cut your seatbelt. I will have to let you drop, but I'll drag you away from this van. I don't care what this van does. I don't care what the gas does. I promise you, I will not leave you." And she felt better. I said, I think I hear the people coming that know how to help you. And sure enough, they got there and trying to figure out how to get her out of that situation. You know what I'm saying? She's kind of a heavy lady. So they wound up going through the back of the van, Bill, getting the doors open and walking in there and wondering if it was going to rot. I mean, it was not a good situation. But when I promised her, Mr. Tate, that I wouldn't leave her, she said, okay. So we just started talking. I asked her where she'd been that day, you know. And so they got her and took care of her. And sometimes you don't have nobody to do that. Sometimes you have to look for this verse right here that says, it's me. Don't be afraid. Are y'all still with me? Decisions to do what God says, regardless of what storm's going to come that you don't know about. And then notice verse 21 with me, please. John 6:21, and circle it in your Bible. It is it's one of them like the Jetsons. See, when I watched the Jetsons, I used to be up before 6 when I was a little kid. And I sat on the front porch. It was a dirt road then. And I watched cars go by. I'd wake up about 5 on Saturday morning. And I'd sit there, Deb, and I'd watch the cars go by. Because at 6 a.m., the cartoons come on, and they didn't last but to 10. Okay, I know some of y'all don't understand that, but some of y'all do, all right? And so I waited till 6, and I'd go in there and watch the cartoons, and they went off at 10, and then bowling or golf come on. Okay. Y'all with me? Can I get an amen? Okay. I said bowling or golf. That's why when I go in a bowling alley or even drive by a golf course, I sweat just a little bit, all right? And so anyway, I'd go watch them Jetsons. Y'all remember them Jetsons? They had them little cars, they just zoomed around Pop. They just zoomed around Matt. They just zoomed. And they said by 2020, we was going to be zooming. Well, we zooming, but we ain't zooming as cool as them Jetsons is zooming. You understand what I'm saying? We don't even know what we zooming, all right? Them Jetsons, they had it on. I mean, they had this thing that cleaned up the house for you. Y'all remember that? Y'all need to think like that. Y'all with me? They had this little thing. I mean, you walk up and put the clothes on, dressed you. Just all this stuff. Well, they was lying to us, okay, because it didn't happen that way. You feel me? Because somebody needs, they ain't out there at our house. They need to come out there and wash some clothes and mop and do something, praise God. I was out at the fairgrounds last night till after dark cleaning up, getting stuff. Anybody ever been to the fair? All right. I'll go back next year, but today I don't want to go back. Can I might as well say amen? Come on. Some of them just leave and say it'll be all right for a couple of weeks. Amen. Well, I don't know where I would be in a couple of weeks, so I can't roll that way. But sometimes you have to get right here. Now watch this verse right here, and we're gonna go home. This verse right here is life changing. Then they willingly, they saved and going to heaven. If they drowned it, they'd go to heaven. Okay, but the fact that they were saved didn't stop the storm. But the fact that they were saved, they obeyed Jesus and was moving in His kingdom. Then they willingly received Him into the ship. I would strongly advise you to willingly receive Him into every area of your life. When you get home this evening, if you want an optical, go through your house, open all the closets. Say, Lord, I willingly pick up the bedspread. Say, I willingly receive You under the bed. I receive You in all the closets. You just get all up in amongst all my stuff. Any of it you don't like, you just throw it out there in the pile and burn it. A friend of boys worked for me one time, and we had a work phone that we passed around. I think Brother Gary may have wound up with it. But anyway, I like to call his name. It was on a Saturday. It was in the mud. It was just me and him. We was forming concrete on a Saturday. And it was raining. It was on Yandell Road at that Verizon colo there, Matt. And phone rung. He pulled it out. I could tell by his eyes. He laid there. He said, here. I said, don't give me that phone. We got work to do. He said, no. He called his girlfriend's name, said she stole my clothes out in the yard and pouring lighter fluid on them, and she's finna set them on fire. I got to go. I said, drive slow. You're not going to make it in time, okay? All right? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I'll tell you one more little quick one. A friend of mine the other day come by that actually works for him, and he was surprised. He had a whole back seat. I mean, I tell you, he had a whole back seat of stuff. Good stuff. He was so happy. One of his friends that works for me, didn't come by and show it to me, but come by and showed it to the other friend's girlfriend, okay? And said, look at all this good stuff so-and-so gave me, man. He was so happy. He's going home and just spread it out like Christmas, Brooks. She had a look on her face. She said, what now? He gave you that? It's stuff out of their house, okay? Her, not her husband, but her fella. She said, I had all that together and cleaned up to have a rummage sale. He said, well, he said it was in the way, so he told me to load it up, all right? So, you know, on this journey you on, they can get some. Matt, did this happen? Okay. Micah's here. Wave at me, Micah. Yes, this happened. Okay. We know these people. All right. Stuff like that happens. Notice right here. And they willingly received him into all the stuff. And so, hey, I got a friend that'll take your stuff if you need to get rid of some of it. I'll just send him by here, a little car, you just throw it in. All right. You ain't even got to set it from himself. And then they willingly received him into the ship, said, just come on. They realized, hey, how many of you, I realize today I need him more today than I did yesterday. Can I get an amen? And immediately, the ship was at land where they went. Say this with me, Lord, I want some of that. Immediately, the storm, they just completely bypassed the storm, bypassed time, bypassed everything, and Erica, bam, they was where they needed to be. So in the name of Jesus, bam, I'm where right now I need to be. Spiritually, that has happened right now, so it's fixed to manifest physically in the natural world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.